Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Excited about our guests today. We're going to talk about the title I have here is How Scaling Up Changed My Life, which is we talk about scaling a lot. We talk about friction points, building bridges, removing friction points. We all want to figure out those things. We'll probably talk about things about like cash flow, all buzzwords that really get us. And then we're going to talk about some marketing things as well. Herb Cogliano is our guest today. He started Sullivan and Cogliano. This company was a 53-year privately held, family-owned technology staffing and workforce solutions firm. He also founded Sullivan Cogliano, an education business. Some accolades on the Inc. 5000 fastest growing company list, not once, multiple times. His firm was a multi-year recipient of Boston and South Florida Business Journal Best Places to Work Awards. They created a great business landscape, creating a positive work environment, attracting and retaining employees through a combination of employee satisfaction, working conditions, and company culture. These are all things that we want to improve on. Now he leads his own advisory practice, leveraging the Scaling Up Performance Platform described in Vern Harnish's book. We had Vern Harnish as a guest a few years ago. His award-winning book, Master the Rockefeller Habits of Scaling Up. Herb, that was a long intro, but I didn't even read the whole thing because you've done so many cool things. Thanks for being our guest today.
Derek, it's wonderful to be here, and I look forward to hopefully sharing some stories and some insights with the Business Leadership Series listeners. One point of clarification, I am a very grateful second generation. My mother and father started our company back in 1966. So I literally, from birth, was brought up in a family business. We lived it, we breathed it, we talked about it around the dinner table. I would accompany my father to work as a little boy. I would dress up in a suit, put on a tie. He'd introduce me to a different department each summer. I'd go there on my days off. I just enjoyed spending time with my mom and dad. And what I really respected is seeing the way people reacted to the leadership and the inspiration that they gave each and one of our special employees. It's one thing to see your mom and dad at home and you're playing in the backyard and they're laughing and smiling. But the first time I went in, I went home to my mother and I said, who's that guy in the office? Because my father now had a whole different demeanor, professional, respectful, but high energy, very directed, and a mover and a shaker. And I loved every minute of it. I was like a sponge learning from him and many different wonderful leaders that he exposed me to over the years.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's so cool. You know, we mentioned Vern. One of the things I really respected about Vern was, and I interviewed him on, was how he would bring I've seen his kids at the events and they're working the bookstore and they're up on stage. And so, and I didn't have my kids in the business yet. And I'm going, man, that seems really cool. What a great way to teach the second generation. So I'd love to hear you elaborate for just a minute, because there's owners out there listening that their kids are completely removed from the business, and mine have been as well. What did your parents teach you in that way? Did they welcome and embrace you into the business to come and learn all that you could at an early age?
Yeah, I have to tell you, it was highly encouraged. Yeah. My father would read the newspaper. He'd look at a story, and most people look at the newspaper and there's violence or catastrophe. He'd always look at the newspaper and say, where's the opportunity? People are having a flood. How do we get them water? when people don't have homes, how would they get shelter? If people are out of work, how do we get them jobs? And I think from an early age, it was very much a growth mindset versus a woe is me fixed mindset, a mindset based upon abundance for everyone and gratitude and thankfulness for everything we had. And what I enjoyed about the experience in the family business is that he exposed me to many different types of leaders, because he didn't think just one person's leadership style was right. He wanted me to see for myself leadership styles, things I appreciated, but I also learned equally as much from leadership styles I didn't think were good. People that were micromanagers, people that didn't recognize achievements and accomplishments, people that didn't develop and lift up people to make them more promotable and provide them a better career and opportunity. So I was very self-aware, but him and my mom were very directional about making sure at a young age, and I wouldn't trade opportunities with anybody. I was very fortunate, and I know it, to get exposed. And yet we made quite a few mistakes, as you can imagine, being that young and being exposed to that type of opportunity. And yet I cherish every moment of it.
Wow, Herb, that's really cool. You've got a very unique story, and we can elaborate on this later, but I'm sure when you go into, I'm in the marketing side, so I'll go in and help a company, and there's times I can't help them. They're like, we want to solve a marketing challenge. I'm like, ooh, there's things here that Herb's qualified to help with and I'm not, but they don't have a marketing challenge. They've got some cultural challenges, some internal employee conflict challenges, some leadership challenges. You go in and help them figure some of those things out. And I'm sure that the way you grew up, like seeing that like intense Petri dish case study of business and leadership, it must be such a contrast when you go into some organizations that, let's just say, have room for improvement in the areas that you saw your family excelling in.
Yeah, it was amazing, because we had an opportunity to do startup. We had an opportunity to do scale up. We had an opportunity to do turnaround, and we closed some locations too. So you learn so much. And we had a 54-year history when the average company doesn't make, more than 3 to 5 years in business.
Right.
So you do learn a lot of things. And yet you and I know, Derek, running your business, times continue to change. What was applicable 20 years ago is not always applicable to what's happening right in front of you. So having the ability to adapt and be flexible is really important today as a leader.
It's so true, Urban. You've seen so many different iterations in the world. Even just in my 16 years with this particular company, we went through a 2008 recession. We went through a couple of market downturns. We went through the pandemic, which is almost a word I don't even like to say anymore, because we all want to just forget about it. And then we're seeing disruption happen right now from AI and increased competition and customer loyalties change. And I say that post-pandemic, at least, you're either a dinosaur or you're a dragon. You're either done if you're not willing to change, or you're going to figure out how to get wings and fly and grow. And that's what a lot of us, myself included, are trying to figure out in this new landscape. Is we're saying, do we just need to get comfortable with disruption because that's the new norm with how fast technology and competition and all these things are changing? And so the way you come in and help companies, I think, is invaluable, because a lot of us are trying to figure that out. We need a shepherd who's been there and has seen a 53-year track record plus, and all the different companies you've worked with, to have good leadership and handholding to go, hey, here's some pitfalls to avoid. Here's some bridges that'll make it faster to get there. You've seen it. You've been there. So I want to kind of fast forward through, kind of give me an idea, and then I want to get into some meat of advice with you, because I covet it too. I've got a pen and I'm taking notes myself, and I know our listeners are. Kind of take me through. Great, you grew up in this amazing company. You had a lot of lessons. What did a transition look like out of there to do what you're doing today?
So a couple of points may be helpful for your listeners, especially if they've been in a family business. First thing was this issue of succession. How do you go from first to second generation or second to third? What is the right timing for it? Not only for the current leader, their timing to move forward, as well as the up and coming generation and them being ready to take over responsibility. So I learned a lot of things about how not to do it. And yet, I'm 58 years old, and you learn so much as you mature and you become more thoughtful. And so what I have learned is that there is a right way to do a succession plan, whether you're a family business or not. And it takes a commitment on both ends. The person looking to transition, the owner, has to be patient enough to not only do it when they're ready, but to know when their successor's ready. And the successor has to be aware enough, as well as patient enough, to demonstrate a track record of dealing with different types of adversities, market dynamics, internal issues, market-facing issues, and be ready for that as well. But even at the end of the day, I've never seen a perfect transition, but I have seen transitions where there's less drama, there's more continuity in the team, there's continued year-over-year growth. And what I think the founder is really looking for, they want their legacy to be preserved. Mm. They don't want to leave the business and say, I did good, you messed it up. They want to leave the business saying that it's in great hands and that will continue decade after decade, a legacy of what they really brought to the world. So I think that's an important thing. I just didn't want to shortcut that, because that takes patience to do it. And as a second generation, that was a big deal for me. The second thing I want to note is that I had never done startup when I came into my family business. The business was formed. It was running. It wasn't huge, but it was very successful. And how do you build on that? So we went through this initial phase of taking a good regional business and how do we make it a national or North American business? And then the second thing was, I wanted to do a startup because I felt like it was important to know what it was like starting a business from zero. Hmm. I was very fortunate that I was able to take a separate business in education that would train people in computer skills and then be a feeder to the staffing company to help get them jobs when we were done. So they were synergistic, but it was separate and it was a startup. And that was the first place after being in business 10 years with that startup, it was now starting to grow. And that's when the scaling up book came into play for me. And we went from a startup to truly a scale up. And then we used those type of educational and platform work in the parent company after. So it was a great learning curve and a great story to go from startup to scale up and see what that full cycle was like.
Herb, thank you for sharing that. I love all of that. You know, back to the succession discussion, there's entire industries that have not prepared for this and are going obsolete or being bought out, not by family because they just didn't plan the succession properly. And so I think that's super important to talk about. I would like to hear selfishly, and I know our listeners would, you're scaling up coach. That's your specialty. It's what we all want to figure out. Yeah. So I am curious, like, what are some of the barriers? I don't think we look at that sometimes. We just want to grow and maybe we focus on the wrong things sometimes, but what are some of the barriers to scale up or some of the secrets, just the top ones maybe that you've seen to getting out of your own way and growing your company?
One of the barriers is underdeveloped leadership. You're an owner. You're very good at what you do. You have wonderful people around you supporting your genius. You make the majority of the decisions in your company. You maybe have a couple of good people that are working in different functions, whether it's HR, finance, operations, but nobody that's ready to be independent and autonomous and make very important decisions. And yet there's a bottleneck created through you, because if you're not available or you're handling 10 different things, the business slows down because you become the bottleneck. So number one, the ability to hire, coach, and develop the next senior level leadership is absolutely a barrier for people getting from 1 to 10 million in revenue. And by the way, Derek, only 0.5% of the over 30 million companies in this country ever make it to 10 million in top line sales.
Wow.
It amazes me.
Wow.
Only 4% of the 30 plus million ever make it over 1 million in revenue.
Wow.
So we have a lot of lifestyle companies, which are great, but there are people that want to kind of break through and they want to get from 1 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20. And the number I hear all the time, I don't know why, everybody wants to be a $100 million company someday.
That's right.
So if
I think I've said that before.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And my next question is always, why? Because you and I know it's not about the money. It's about what you can do with your business purpose-wise that also creates a great financial outcome. But I always... Anyway, that's an important journey is, number one, the ability to hire, attract, and develop senior leadership. The next one is the CEO being the bottleneck. They typically hire people in the beginning that do things they're not good at, like, let me get a finance person, let me get an HR person. And then what hurts them is they have to replace themselves at the thing they are great at. That becomes an Achilles heel for them. Because nobody measures up, nobody will ever be as good as them in their genius area, and that creates a problem.
And that's air quotes, by the way, the genius area.
Yes, yes, yeah. So can you get through that? Absolutely, but sometimes you're so close to it, you're in it, you don't see it. And then the third thing, which I know you can totally appreciate in marketing, they're not quick to react to market dynamics. You had a great product. You have a great service. Your business is growing. You're making more money than you ever made. Life is good. That goes 1 year, 2 years. Next thing you know, orders start to shrink. You lose a couple of key customers. You lose a couple of key employees. Your margins, your pricing is getting pressured. You don't know why, but the market's changing all around you, and you become a deer in headlights because you have a fear of losing what you have because it was so good that you didn't react quick enough to the market dynamics, and then you slowly become commoditized and your business either plateaus, flattens out, or you start to dip. Those are the three things, the barriers to breaking through.
Huge. That's incredible. Hey, we've got a few minutes left. Thank you for sharing that. That is so great. Those are great points. You and I talked before we start recording about the seven strata. I would love to talk about that in our remaining time if we can, and then make sure we give a plug in how our listeners can contact you and learn more about you.
Yeah. So in scaling up, we have a tool under the strategy section, which is really about How do you create top line revenue, gross margin growth? How do you keep your company viable in the market? So we begin with what we call is the SWET, strengths, weaknesses, trends. What's going on in the market? With COVID, there was a trend towards people working remote. Now you have trends with people working with AI. You have people that are more comfortable doing online work versus in-person work. You also have trends politically. We use something called the PESTO framework, where we have the senior team look at political issues, economic issues, societal issues, technological issues, environmental and legal. Hmm. And as we look at these trends, what are the top opportunities or the few barriers that could happen as a result? I then want you to pick up the phone once a week, minimally, and call one of your clients. And I want you to ask them four simple questions. This is not a sales call. Derek, what's going on in your role for you right now? Derek, what's going on in your business, in your industry? What have you been hearing from competition to what we do that you like and that you don't like? Hmm. And finally, we're very grateful for your business. How are we doing?
Hmm.
And if you make it a habit of once a week contacting your customers, guess what they're going to give you? Amazing feedback about market intelligence. Why is that important? Because in the seven strata, we need to define your ideal customer. Who are they? What do they need? And where do you provide it? Online, in person, whatever the channel is. We then have to uncover what we call the brand promises. And this is central to any great, powerful strategy. What does your ideal client value? And how do you provide it in a way that is distinctive from your competitor?
Hmm.
And what I find most companies do really good, they find out what a client values. They wouldn't be in business if they didn't.
Right.
But what they're not good at is where is it distinctive from all the competition? Because if you don't find that, you will be commoditized.
Hmm.
And you'll see your margins drop. You'll see that you're always having to acquiesce on terms and negotiating. So it's really important people listen what is valued and find out what is distinctive.
That's great.
And then you have to guarantee it, Derek, because you know what I find with a prospect? I've listened to you, and in my head, I'm thinking, if I spend time with this new provider, am I wasting my time or wasting my money? And what guarantee could you give me that will give me peace of mind to give you an opportunity?
Hmm.
So if you walk into a Starbucks, by the way, on every cup, if you don't like your serving, simply bring it back. We'll fix it, no questions asked. In my coaching practice, in the first 90 days, for any reason, if we don't think we're a fit, no questions asked. Stop.
Hmm.
You want to give them peace of mind so that you reduce friction for them wanting to start to have a relationship with you.
Hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, more importantly, it's the right thing to do for executing and delivering your service. If you sell someone on a proposition and you're not delivering, you need to make it right.
Hmm.
So we look at valuable, distinctive, identify the few brand promises. A great example, Southwest Airlines. Low fares, lots of flights, lots of fun.
Hmm.
And that's what they've built their entire business on. Another strata, seven strata item, differentiating activities. So in Southwest, they have low fares, lots of flights, lots of fun, but that combines into a one phrase strategy that's very simple, wheels up. If they're not in the air, they cannot keep their flights low fare. The way they accomplish low fares, the activities in their business, they only fly 737 planes. Why? One plane, one type of part, one type of pilot keeps everything low cost. Number two, they only let you order tickets on Southwest website. You cannot use a broker, a travel agent. It creates cost. Number three, no assigned seats, creates cost and transactions. Number four, baggage are free. They don't want to be dealing with baggage returns and refunds. And number five, they only fly a direct route. If you want to go to somewhere which is a non-direct flight, they don't do it.
Wow. Extremely focused. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Herb, that is awesome. We're about at our time. Man, I could talk to you all day because you have so much advice to share. Hey, and that was really powerful. I love the talk about the guarantee. I think that we get locked in at certain times. Or I know we have where it's a year contract and you go over the contract and like, wait, they're not happy in month two. And there's damages paid for the cancellation and all these things. And having a guarantee and building what I call trust pillars early on is important. And I love what you share there. And then the Southwest Airlines example is just really great about having a really focused brand that knows what it stands for, focuses on taking care of the customer. It's really clear what you're going to get with them. They don't deviate from that, or they won't be able to, they'll marginalize themselves and commoditize themselves, to your point.
Yeah.
Very, very good advice. And I know this is just a teaser of what you can, the input you can share with us. How can we learn more about you if our listeners want to continue to learn?
Yeah, thank you. So very simply, just go to my website, Aspire Growth Advisors with an S.com. AspireGrowthAdvisors.com.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes along with some other contact information. Herb, thank you so much for being our guest today. I've enjoyed talking to you and learning from you, and look forward to seeing the great things that you continue to do.
Thank you, Derek. Derek, for your listeners, complimentary, we have a scaling up readiness scorecard that is on the site. And we're just releasing a report called High Impact CEO. So for people that are looking to know the five traits of what a high impact CEO embodies, there's also a report and an assessment for those people that want to get their high impact CEO score too. So thank you. And it's been a pleasure being here with you today.
Thanks for that offer for our listeners. We'll definitely check that out. And I'll put the link in our show notes so that there's no confusion on that website. Herb, thanks again, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Have a great day. Take care.
You too.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.